Welcome to the Thriving Farmer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Kilpatrick. Our mission is to inspire, educate, and celebrate sustainable farming. We believe that you can build a profitable, sustainable farm that gives you true farm freedom. Join us as we talk to farmers, innovators, educators, and entrepreneurs to glean their top takeaways in business and life.
This podcast is brought to you by Farmhand. Farmhand is the all-in-one software platform and virtual assistant built by and for independent farmers. Through a simple text or email to Farmhand, you can instantly offload admin tasks, automate your CSA, update your website, and sell more to your customers. With zero startup costs or long-term commitments, farmers are reporting an average of 6-plus hours in time savings and 20% in sales growth each week. Learn more and take the quiz to see how much you can save by partnering with Farmhand. Visit farmhand.partners/podcast. That's farmhand.partners/podcast to learn more.
Hey, Thriving Farmers, Michael Kilpatrick here with yet another Thriving Farmer podcast. And today my guest is Ari Memmer, who is the founder and CEO of Farmhand. With his tech background and passion for sustainable food systems, Ari is dedicated to helping local farmers increase earnings and reduce workload, all while leveraging technology to build a more resilient local food system. Ari, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Excited to be here.
Yeah, so share with us a little bit about like your background. How did you get into farming?
Yeah, so I was born in San Francisco, kind of bounced around the Bay Area, grew up in Palo Alto, not too far from Stanford University, and grew up around food, you know, backyard gardening, the outdoors. My mom, she had a flower business and a landscape design business. My dad was in tech. He had worked for Hewlett Packard for a long time and did a couple startups as well. And my mom was just like an incredible cook, would go to farmers markets. We were growing our own fruits and veggies, really like understood the value of real food, nutrition, taking care of the environment. You know, a lot of our family time and best memories was around the dinner table or outdoors, camping, backpacking. And, you know, I took that with me kind of through my career, didn't really do anything with it, but I studied engineering. I led product business teams at Uber during its kind of hyper growth phase where it was really taking off and becoming like a global product. And, you know, got the entrepreneurial bug myself and also made a lifestyle change. I was in San Francisco during COVID, and that was, yeah, a difficult time to be in a big city and led me to think about like, what's fun? Yeah. Like, what do I want to do? And I just kept finding myself wanting to like cook, be outdoors, you know, spend time in nature, wanted to get a little bit more into backyard gardening. And so moved about a couple hours north of San Francisco to 5 acres in a small city called Occidental. It's close to kind of Sebastopol, Santa Rosa, kind of in northwestern Sonoma County. And yeah, just got into it, like started the property had an orchard, started doing, you know, mixed veggies, learned a lot through podcasts like yours, YouTube, learned a lot through local farmers, experienced like literal growing pains, like got a tremendous appreciation for the craft of growing food.
Yes.
And as that was happening, I also realized like, wow, there's a lot of other things farmers are doing aside from just the production side, you know, the business side, the marketing, the communications, the technology, the admin work. And I felt, you know, I was maybe uniquely equipped to help in those aspects given my own experience. So as farmers were helping me with production, I was helping them with kind of the non-production items. And so that's really what led me towards starting Farmhand was I felt like there should be more resources and support for kind of local growers, smaller farmers who didn't have, you know, big sales teams, big back office teams, usually husband, wife, or, you know, small team. And yeah, that's ultimately what got me excited to start the business. It was fulfilling for me. Hopefully I'm helping farmers. And then hopefully, most importantly, as a system, we're kind of increasing the share of the local kind of food dollar since, you know, we can go into a whole separate tangent there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so like when you had your farm, was that just you or was it you and a couple of folks working there? Kind of explain, like, talk a little bit about that structure.
Yeah, so It's just me and my wife. We want to start a family, and that was obviously one of the big reasons for trying to come out into the country. Like, I don't want my kids on tablets at 2 years old. Yeah. I want them outside. Yeah. Yeah. I want them independent. I want them able to, like, be entrepreneurial and, you know, just kind of, like, live, you know? So, and I think it's important for them to gain an appreciation of, like, nature and food and health and just build those, you know, good habits early. So for us, we really, you know, felt like it was important when we start that chapter in life to be in a different spot. We didn't really want to be in the city. And, yeah. You know, early on, like, we both are doing things outside of the farming production, which I think is typical for a lot of, like, backyard gardeners and people who are, like, just starting. Like, you've got the day job, but, like, yeah. You've got this dream that you're, like, cultivating, and, like, maybe one day this dream will become, like, your day job, right? So we were kind of very similar in that vein, where we just were spending all our free time, like, you know, nights, weekends, early mornings, you know, gardening, tending to the
yeah,
orchard.
Growing things,
exactly, learning. And the orchard itself was, like, I'm pretty fortunate because it's an older growth orchard. It's actually, like, dry farmed, so I don't have to set up irrigation. I don't really have to do much, just mainly, you know, pruning, a little bit of, like, light mulching, don't really have to do too much. So that yeah. really was kind of, like, my main focus. And with a lot of and it's primarily apples, though I have a lot of different fruits. And with a lot of what we had, it was really just, like, friends, family, local community, like, hey, come on over, like, come apple picking, like, yeah. we'll give you this stuff. It wasn't really, like, looking to do anything commercially. It was just more like set up the infrastructure, set up the practices, like, kind of get going. And then, you know, hopefully people can enjoy what we're growing. That was kind of, like, the phase one we were in. But down the road, I definitely want, especially as we have kids, to turn it into a bit more of, like, a I don't want to say commercial production, but, like, more, like, proper farm business.
Yeah.
Going to the markets, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you kind of got distracted because with this, you were then starting to work with other farmers. And then as you met other farmers, you realized that they had a big problem.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of felt like my impact could be, you know, force multiplied in this way versus just at, like, one farm. Like, I could potentially be helping tens, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of farms. And so,
yeah,
and they're not necessarily in conflict. Like, these goals are actually quite, you know, synergistic.
Yeah. 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 So talk us through a little bit about, like, what Farmhand, the software, is, and kind of, like, you know, an overview of how it helps farmers.
Yeah. So I think the biggest difference in what Farmhand is it's really not just a software. It's a virtual assistant. And the reason why that model, I think, is so important is there's so much software out there. Like, there's not a shortage of software, and there's
Correct.
Software for
yeah.
every possible thing you can imagine. But where it gets really difficult is how do you actually get all these disparate pieces of software to do the things you want it to do? And normally you want the actual end outcome. So, like, maybe you want a website, maybe you want to send a newsletter, maybe you want CSA signups, maybe you want certain fulfillment reports. Like, that's ultimately what you want. But then there's these things that you kind of have to connect together or put together or set up to actually give you that end outcome. And the more and more I talked with farmers here, I realized there's a huge learning curve with, like, any of these aspects. Like, let's just use the email newsletter for an example. Like, you're learning how to use a marketing automation tool, like a MailChimp maybe. You're learning how uh-huh. to collect the information from your website, from your clipboard at the market. You're learning to take photos and create designs that are visual. You're creating actual templates, and then you're actually writing the content, and all of that to send, like, a weekly update on the farm and, like, your product availability. Uh-huh. So that can take hours. Uh-huh. And it also takes potentially a level of expertise that you may not have or may not want to build amongst all the other things you're doing. So in our model, it's really, like, you can just text or email conversationally. Like, there is no learning curve. You just say what you want, and then we uh-huh. can produce those things and provide them to you as a draft for you to kind of approve, tweak, and adjust. And so that's a huge, in my opinion, that's a huge game changer, because it actually saves you significant time on each of these workflows, but it also produces a better output than what you are probably capable of delivering yourself, because you maybe don't have these expertise that we have. So kind of in totality, within this virtual assistant model, we can help with marketing, whether it be physical marketing, like print flyers at your farm stand, at the market, or digital marketing, like social media posts, email newsletters, Google business profiles, through to the website, so a professional managed custom website, through to the CSA signup or the farm stand pre-order or the wholesale ordering system, through all the reports that are needed to fulfill those orders and the customer service needed for you and your customers that are having questions around those orders, and the communications associated with those orders to make sure people are adding things to their order, have reminders to pick up, are notified if the schedule shifts or items change. And the payment collection, you know, associated. So like, obviously there's all these different pieces. And so I think A, we're the virtual assistant, so you can text us as if we're part of your crew. B, we have a breadth that actually allows you to work with one system or one person instead of, you know, 4, 5, 10, you know, disparate systems. And three, like it's made to be accessible. Like the price point is super accessible, so it's not really a barrier to get going for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was just thinking, just the other week, we obviously send a weekly newsletter, and I'm pretty tech savvy, but I kept getting the spam alert. It kept saying your email's spam. And so, you know, by the time I chatted in and said, hey, why is this showing up as spam? Is it actually spam? Blah, 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 blah. You know, 20 minutes have gone by that I should have been, you know, planting lettuce or, you know, solving another problem on the farm. So that whole aspect of, you know, trying to figure this out, that's, you know, that'd be way better to have someone that does this on a daily basis and then trying to be a master of too many things and, you know, trying to be, I get the jack of all trades, you know, you know how to do too many things, but not well at anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, I'm a DIYer too. So like, obviously if I was paying for people to do all the work that needed to happen at my homestead, like I'd be broke, but you have to do a bunch of things. But then there's certain things that you're like, I'm not an expert at this. Like I'm going to delegate this. And I think this is one of those areas that it makes a lot of sense to delegate because it's just so different from the production side. And you can still have your imprint on the strategy, the voice, like the customization of how you want everything set up. You can just outsource those execution roadblocks like you're discussing. Like there's so many instances of that where you're gonna have to get on to like GoDaddy support or like MailChimp support or like Squarespace support. And like that support is not gonna get you a quick answer, right? Like you're just gonna sit there for a while until you can figure out what the heck's going on. And maybe you have to like go watch videos and like ask other people for help. And so you can kind of avoid a lot of those, you know, hurdles.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so how this would work is, let's say I put a newsletter together. I would text you like 2 or 3 pictures. I would text you like the special of the week. And then you would email me a draft email that would be going out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I have some customers that they're so busy. I mean, literal 80-hour weeks. They're sending bullet points and they're like, you know, this is what I got. This is what's coming in the CSA. This is the product availability, literal bullet points, like recipe on this, or like, we just had this article like posted on the farm and they just send that. And then we produce the template. We usually work with you initially when you first onboard to set up that template. And then we fill that template and then send you a draft before we send it to your customers. But I have others that, you know, when they're writing newsletters, it's almost like a journaling exercise. So there's a real emotional connection with like writing it and like sharing their voice. Maybe they also have like good photography skills. So they're really like taking good quality pictures. And so they may, you know, enrich what they provide with their own first person content, with their own images, and more so like I'm just like assembling it together and sending it just to make sure that it's, you know, executed properly and sent to the right list and scheduled and there's no issues. So it really depends on the model that, you know, you prefer. And some people switch week to week because, you know, the demands of each week are slightly different.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Yeah, and to make sure the links are correct. And like the other day we sent a newsletter and I don't know what happened and I don't know how it happened, but the picture came in as large. And so it meant all the text was like 6 fonts.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one could read it.
Yeah.
So having that level of check and having that level of someone being able to do that, I think is super important. All right. So then you guys cover, like, we obviously just talked newsletter, but what other things do you guys do? Website, communications?
Yeah. So I kind of break it up into like, the first thing I really talk about is like foundations. And when I talk about foundations, I mean like it doesn't matter how your farm business operates. Like, it doesn't matter how you sell, doesn't matter your channels. Like, you need a professional website and you need consistent communications to your customers. And so we talked about the email newsletter, which is a big piece of those consistent communications, but the website's another huge one. Like, this day and age, a lot of customers are gonna have a lot of, you know, assumptions on you based on you having a website or not having a website and the quality of that website. So, you know, putting my consumer hat on, like, am I gonna swipe my credit card if it looks like this is a website from 15 years ago, the information is not accurate, I don't know if these people are in business, I don't know much about them.
Correct.
It doesn't even work on my mobile phone. So, you know, there's all those concerns that, frankly, like, could easily be avoided if you had a more modern website that had the right information, that was more visual than text-based, that had the pictures, that kind of broke away from the narrative of, like, you're a commodity farmer to you're this local farmer whose name is Michael, and these are the things that Michael does that's really unique, and this is Michael's family, and this is what Michael grows, and, you know, start building that connection and show really the kind of the nuance and get people excited about what you're growing and kind of where you are. And then, you know, what's the goal of the website? Is the goal to get you into the CSA or to show up to the farm stand or to place like a pre-order for the farm stand? And so you want to be oriented towards whatever that goal is, which we can again do when we kind of set it up kind of from scratch. And then in the, on the back end, you've got all the, you know, keywords, you've got kind of like the meta tags for search engine optimization. And then, you know, once that's in place, it kind of starts working for you, where as you get website traffic, it's going to convert better. Our checkout flows are all like the least amount of steps possible. A lot of websites I see, or a lot of even other farm management software, it's like a 10-step process to like buy something, which is kind of insane. So I think that's kind of like the foundational side of what we offer, like the website and then the email newsletter. But then within each of the sales channels, which like CSA is one that I'm particularly passionate about, that's one where we go, you know, much deeper. So like on your website, you're going to have a dedicated page that features the CSA or farm boxes or however you brand it. Like, is it market style? Is it farmer's choice boxes? Is it like veggies? Is it like protein? Like whatever it is. So we'll feature that there. And then when people sign up, you've got the customized sign up form that then allows people to, you know, make their plan configurations. Maybe you're offering local pickup or home delivery. Maybe you've got different payment plan options. So they can kind of like, you know, make those selections there and then actually buy. And then when they buy, now you're entering in to like the normal workflows, you know, post purchase. So when you first buy, you're going to get a welcome message. You're going to get a member handbook. The member handbook is kind of like a user manual for CSA members, so they can, you know, be most successful and get all the information, and kind of we can answer a lot of the questions they normally have. And then through the season, you're getting reminders to order. You're getting reminders for pickup. Customers obviously have questions or things pop up. They go on vacation. They want to pause their subscription, or something happens. It's an emergency. They can't pick up last minute. Or maybe something happens on your end, you know, the truck gets a flat and an entire delivery is running late, or a site host cancels, and so a pickup location needs to like be removed and another one's added. Mm-hmm. So like all of these things that are, you know, happening through the season are then managed. But on the farmer's side, you can just initiate, you know, these changes by just like a simple, like, hey, the truck's running late on the Thursday delivery route, like message all impacted customers. Or, you know, add this pickup spot. You know, very, very simple things, but they can be complicated when you're like cascading them across orders and customers and reports and all those different things. So that's why, again, having one system makes it so you can cascade those things to all the appropriate, you know, impacted pieces.
Yeah, because here's a scenario, like the irrigation breaks, so you're going to be running late, but you don't have time to log in and try to message the first two pickups that you, hey, I'm going to be late, but if you can text it to somebody, that really sounds, and I see this hugely effective for these really small farms, you know, the ones that have the mom and dad, and I even see it larger as you start to scale up here, but especially for that you know, only a couple person operation that is just, they got their 80-hour weeks, as you said, they're way too busy to try to juggle all this.
Yeah, and I see, you know, different size farms kind of operating differently. So obviously, if you're kind of in that infrastructure startup phase, you know, small team, maybe a few, you know, part-time farmhands, you know, during kind of peak season. Yeah, like you said, like you don't have a shortage of time and you just want to like delegate quickly. But even if you're a bit larger, you know, maybe you're trying to like get some of that growth back that you had during COVID within the CSA program or something else. And so you're trying to, you know, deliver a really good experience for those that are there, but also, you know, find ways to sell more to your existing customers or find ways to attract new customers. But like, it's hard to reallocate your time to some of those, you know, sales marketing endeavors when just like the day-to-day management is like so heavy, right? So it's all about, you know, where is the best place for anyone to spend your time? I mean, I think regardless of what you're doing, like you kind of need to take a step back every week and be like, how did I spend my time? How do I want to spend my time? Like, where's the difference? And, you know, I think as people start to look at that and actually keep tally of all the little things they're doing just to kind of keep the lights on, there's a lot of opportunity for finding, you know, time efficiency in different aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. So share a little bit about like some of the farms that you've worked with, kind of like, you know, getting case studies of how they're like utilizing the software and the service, because you're saying it's not a software, it's an assistant. There's so much more to it.
Yeah. So I've had, you know, a handful of different customers go through similar but different experiences. I would say thematically, they're all saving, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week, and they're all seeing probably to the tune of 20% plus in revenue growth. So let's talk about a few examples with the time savings first. You know, I have a lot of customers like Tierra Vegetables, which is nearby me in Santa Rosa. You know, prior to using my service, they were, you know, creating a newsletter in a marketing automation suite. They were collecting payments in its own payment suite. They had a CSA management software for just the CSA. They had spreadsheets because there was reports they wanted that were not available. And then they had their own dedicated kind of customer service line because customers, you know, had questions and needed answers. But that customer service line was not available, you know, 7 days a week because someone needs to be behind it. So it was kind of limited and mapped towards like when the farm stand was open, and the farm stand's not open 7 days a week. So, you know, fast forward, when they made the switch to our system, they were able to cancel like the website, the email, the payment, the CSA management system, and kind of no longer be reliant on a lot of the spreadsheets. So they kind of took, you know, 5 to 6 systems and then put them into like one system, which became, you know, tremendously efficient. And then at the farm stand, you know, Lisa, who is kind of the point of contact for the CSA, she was able to move a little bit more away from the pure account management customer support. We're able to, you know, follow up on missed payments. We're able to make those account changes just without needing her approval. She just states, these are the policies. This is what we do. This is what we not do. And then we just adhere to the policies. And so, you know, Lisa's basically telling me, you know, every week or every other week, like, hey, this is awesome because I'm not having to spend my time doing those things. Like, I'm happy to delegate that to you. So now I can do other things. So what are those other things? You know, they've done, you know, some pretty cool events at the farm, like the like farm to table lunches, farm to table dinners. They've done some cool like promotions around some processed foods that they've done. Just again, additional things that you can start doing once you're not just doing like the base account management, just to, like I said, kind of keep the lights on. And so, yeah, they've seen like pretty big time savings. They've seen kind of, you know, they've got a great community, and I think that's the most important. Like, I can't make a great product, and I can't make you have like a great community around you. Like, the farmer is ultimately responsible for those things. But assuming you're doing those things, then this kind of can, you know, amplify those positive things you're already doing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Okay, so that's good. Now, talk a little bit about CSA, because CSA is something that is a lot of times a really big part of what farms do and how they make their sales. But as you said, sometimes it's 9 steps to sign up to some of these other programs. Talk a little bit about kind of like how you guys have made your software like more streamlined.
Yeah, so I think, you know, CSA, like between me and you, we have all the context and we understand what it is. But I think for the modern consumer, or like more typical consumer, it's pretty nuanced. Like, I don't actually know what I'm getting. Like, am I showing up to the farm? Is it like a market style pickup, or is it a farmer's choice box like that you're curating? Or is it like a customized box that I'm curating? Like, do I need to pick it up? Do you deliver? Like, what are the hours? What are the options in terms of flexibility? Like, can I stop it? Can I pause it? Do I have to pay for it for the entire season? Can I kind of pay as I go? So there's all these like parameters that, you know, different people have different opinions on the farming side. So I have certain customers that they've built an incredible community and they sell out every year, and for them they're going to be more rigid. Like, you're going to have to pay up front, you're going to have to pick up, like, here are the options and it's farmer's choice. I have other customers that want to make it more convenient and they're trying to grow their program, so, you know, maybe they're doing deliveries, or maybe they're offering weekly pay as you go, or maybe they're offering light customization. I'm not too opinionated on like how you want to do it, because the more and more conversations I have, the more I see people are very passionate about how they want to do it. And I'm not here to tell you it's the right way or the wrong way. I'm just here to tell you, like, this is a way that could potentially make what you're doing more effective. And just so you know, if you're trying to grow, this is a reason why someone may not be wanting to sign up, because you're asking for too much upfront, or you're not offering a lot of flexibility in terms of fulfillment. But on the flip side, what I'd say is, I think from a consumer standpoint, like, the more the farmer can do to not try to win on like low price or pure convenience, because like ultimately you're going to lose to like a Whole Foods or like whatever else. Like, technically they've got, you know, organic food, and technically they can get it to you like same day. Like, it's, I think it's hard to win on that. But it's, I think, very, very straightforward to win on the experience, the connection with the farmer, the actual quality of the products, and the curation that the farmer does to pick the products that you get. Because we all know how, you know, deceptive a lot of the grocery store, you know, labeling is. And for those that become aware of a lot of that, you know, that becomes really valuable. Like, now you look at like, okay, I got my farmer, like, I got my doctor, like, this is someone I trust who is like picking out the right things for me to eat. So I think that is like a big challenge, because how are you going to get this stranger, or potentially this person you've met once, to like want to subscribe to what you're doing and just like be your fan and be with you like through these ups and downs of the season or whatever else is going on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you said something you said there a little about light customization, your software, does that kind of like allow people to customize their shares? Kind of like, what's the parameters that you can do with that?
Yeah. So we can support different levels of customization. I would say most typically, most our customers are operating with like a farmer's choice or market style model. But if you do want to allow customization within like what someone receives within each CSA order, that is also possible. I think, you know, with either option, there's challenges. So I think the farmer's choice option is always nicer for the farmer and a bit more flexible to allow you to kind of ebb and flow inventory. But on the flip side, can be a bit more rigid to the consumer. But you can still like collect preferences, and we can collect the preferences that show like allergies or things they like or don't like. And you can, you know, inform what you curate based on those preferences. And I think a lot of farmers that have been doing it for a while have a sense of what their customers like, what they don't like. I see a lot of people like doing a lot of exotic stuff. And I think by and large, most customers have very like basic palates. So like the more you're doing like the basic stuff, the better it's like responded to. So I think some people like figure it out on their own. Others, you know, figure it out when they allow the customers to customize or share feedback. And then on the customized model, like you said, like there's certain availability that you make available, and then customers can go in and, you know, make their selections from the pre-filled box or order that you've set up. But I see like increasingly, because a lot of people don't want to do deliveries or don't have like the, I guess, like capacity to do deliveries.
Yeah.
Customizing via like a market style pickup ends up being really nice, because you don't necessarily have to do the boxing and the, you know, individual order kind of setup. You just can kind of set up like this nice, you know, display. You can on a chalkboard write like, you know, one of this, two of that, 2 pounds of this. And then you can also concurrently handle those like swaps or trades, where if someone's like, I absolutely do not want like peppers, like no matter what, you can kind of accommodate them without making this like a more complicated workflow. And I just like think the more you can get a customer like on the farm and actually see what's going on, like it's pretty cool, right? Like most people don't realize like the nuance of how food is grown, or maybe they've seen a lot of the fruits or veggies like at the grocery store, but they've actually never seen them in the ground. And then you can do things like, you know, like a you-pick herb garden, or like cut flowers or things that are really beautiful and lovely and like ultra fresh. And I think customers respond to that well, but obviously the flip side is you have to be in a location where it's convenient.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we kind of had a little bit of discussion about CSA, but what do you think? Because this is something that someone literally just brought to me and said, hey, we stopped making customers commit to like a weekly box. They basically said we've gone to like a completely a la carte method, and they just order when they want. To me, that kind of like defeats the purpose of CSA, but I'm not sure. What are you seeing anything with your customers, that any success with that, or do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there is this like trend of people have like a ton of subscriptions. They forget about them. They want to cancel them. They're kind of like inundated with different things. And I think it makes them potentially like hesitant to sign up for certain things. I think that's definitely there. I also think just economically, like, you know, we're right before tax season. Like people are a little bit tighter, or, you know, the economy is maybe not doing as well. So people are a little bit tighter. And so those types of things can make it difficult when you're asking for like a full season pre-buy. That's definitely like a consideration. But I think to your point, like I kind of want people to commit to longer, but I would rather have people know that like there's a way to get out if something goes wrong. And at the end of the day, like people have very rigid policies, let's say, but every time I'm seen with a situation where like a customer has a real emergency and like wants to cancel, or something happens, they need to move away. Like farmers are nice people, so they tend to be like pretty accommodating regardless of the impact it's going to have on them. I think for them, they just want to know, like, I want to grow for you. Like, I want to get to know you. I want to know that like you're going to be there. And as long as a customer is willing to say, yes, that is my plan, but know that there's like an escape hatch, then I don't see any issue with the commitment. And then the like breaking of the subscription being more the exception case. But I do think that cognitively, it is scary to know like you're committing for something for potentially like 20 weeks or 40 weeks in like February, right? Or March, with those uncertainties.
Yeah. Well, we just seem that, we also see the aspect of people who they thought they canceled, and the software I think we have right now is just pretty bad about this, but it doesn't notify them, or even if it does notify them, they don't get the email. And so we had one person that literally we had packed their bag 4 times for them, and then they came and said, hey, we never wanted this. And I'm like, So it's So, I mean, obviously, I think one of the things that would help, and I think that's actually you guys offer, is text marketing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a whole separate topic, but SMS is, like, critical. Like,
yeah,
it is, like, what's going on with email, what you just described around, like, the junk flag, like, email is just increasingly becoming a more difficult channel. There's less people opening emails. There's less people clicking on emails. There's lots of spam. People get hundreds of emails a day. Text messages cut through. Like, 98% of people open them. 20% of people click on them if there's something to do. And customers want to receive text messages from, you know, businesses or things that they're a part of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, text messages are amazingly effective at sending reminders and reaching customers for, you know, urgent announcements. And if someone hasn't picked up and they've gotten text messages, then they probably gave you the wrong number. Not so much like
correct.
They're not receiving them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really, I think that's so key because you're right. I mean, I get hundreds of emails a day in my different boxes and you know, what I respond to is the texts. So yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why that text messages are kind of like protected is like, it's against the law for someone to just send you unsolicited marketing text messages. Uh-huh. And it also costs money to send text messages. Whereas like email, phone, they got like the bots just running, just spamming, like no cost, no restrictions. They're just hammering you. So yeah, they haven't quite figured out the model for spamming in the text message world.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that's good too, because I think that would be something super helpful for our customers too. They would appreciate, I mean, I think anyone, but they would definitely appreciate that text. All right, so then you build the website, you help them with email marketing, you manage the CSA. I'm assuming you have like a general format that you use for every single website. Obviously, there's some variations and stuff, but I'm assuming you've just kind of looked out there what tends to work, or how do you, you know, build that website?
Yeah, exactly. We use templates, but those templates are set up to be customized to fit what you want, as well as kind of what is most effective for what you're trying to do. So as an example, photo galleries are critical. Like people want to see pictures. And so a lot of our templates are highly visual. So like photo galleries or, you know, two images side by side. We've got lots of the like plan comparison, you know, where you're looking at pricing of A versus B.
Yes.
We've got FAQs, we've got maps, like where the farm's located. So yeah, to your point, like the actual building blocks are pretty similar across farms. Like most farms want to tell their story. Like this is your farmers. Let me come meet them. Like these are their animals. Come meet them. And then they want to know like, what are you doing? Like, what are you selling? Like, how do you sell? Like, here's a bit about the markets we attend. Here's a bit about the CSA. Here's a bit about our wholesale program, like whatever it is, here's a bit about the events we do. So those get kind of set up to tune to, you know, however your farm operates. And then from a branding standpoint, you know, that's ultimately a question of like, what do you like? Like, you know, what's your primary color? What's your secondary color? What's your logos? What kind of fonts do you like? And so we kind of go through that process to kind of make sure we understand how you want to be branded. And then, you know, sometimes people don't have all those pieces, so they need help with logos or they want our opinion. And so if they're not sure, you know, we can help them and or, you know, provide guidance there as well.
Very cool. Okay. So you literally are the one-stop shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then where do you see you guys going with this? I mean, where do you think, what's the next step?
Well, I think at a very basic level, like, I just want to help more farmers. So if I can continue to delight the customers we have and every week talk to more and more farmers and help them, then I think we're on a good trajectory. Obviously, right now, we've been really keyed in on the website, the communications, the CSA, the farm stand, the kind of like print marketing flyers, kind of those aspects. But that is a subset of all of the non-farming things that farmers potentially need help with. So I do really envision down the road over a longer time arc, we are going to help with a lot of those things, whether that's finding and applying to grants, whether that's, you know, farm events like UPICs, whether that's accounting kind of workflows or tax workflows, whether that's like compliance for labels, you know, like we can kind of continue to go on, but there's a lot of things that I think are related to ways that we're helping now, but would be an expansion of kind of what we can do and what we can offer. And I just wanted, like just help in more ways. And so that's really kind of my goal as time goes on, like obviously stay focused and make sure what we're doing today continues to be excellent, but then do more.
Yeah. Now that's actually really interesting because obviously like the bookkeeping is something very easy for a farm to outsource. But here's the thing is so many people don't know about the rules around farms. So having someone that, you know, has a specialty business built around that. And then like label compliance, I know so many farms that would benefit from that because you don't know what you don't know until the government comes knocking and then you're non-compliance. And so if you can walk with someone that says, okay, so here's the rule, here's what you need to know. And that would make a huge difference.
Yeah. And I think you can even take it one step further, and exactly to your point, like most people don't know about these things until they know about these things, and then they're really important because like you're trying to file taxes or someone just visited your farm and like cited you for something. So, or at the market, something came up. So what I actually see is like as a part of when we onboard a customer, at a very basic level, we're like creating a profile for them. We understand them. And then we have some system of record where we're keeping track of what they're doing. And if those things are set up correctly, then whatever it is, if it's like the mass balance for the organic certs, if it's like a food safety thing, if it's like a USDA loan, if it's a grant application, like we can just have those reports and those that information you want to kind of take the next step. And we can have those artifacts that you need to kind of like maintain compliance. And it doesn't have to even be like an intentional, like, hey, I know I need to go do this. It's just kind of like happening in the background. And then when you need it, it's there.
Yes. I agree to track it and all that. All right. Very cool. Anything else like to share before we go?
No, I mean, I'm just excited to be here chatting with you. Like, I think it's it's like an incredible time to be a farmer. It can be obviously challenging with some of the headwinds, but it can also be energizing with some of the tailwinds. And overall, I think over the next 10, 20, 50 years, I think it's going to become increasingly apparent the importance of quality food, nutritious food. I think it's going to become increasingly apparent the importance of sustainability in our world and in our food system. And I think there's going to be more and more consumers that are going to learn what most farmers already know and are going to want to make changes in their lifestyle. And so I think those that are kind of have paved the way so far and those that will pave the way into the future, are just playing a critical role in like kind of like the health of our population and the future of our planet. So I think it's obviously very impactful work, and I'm just excited to be supporting those on the front lines doing it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Appreciate your time. And look forward to checking out the software. And where can folks find out more information about that?
They can go to farmhand.partners/podcasts.
Okay. Awesome. So farmhand.partners/podcast.
Podcast. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
So there you have it. Another episode in the books. So I'd love if you would hop on over to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. Those mean everything to us. We love to hear what you're thinking. If you have a podcast guest that you can recommend, please pop on over to the Thriving Farmer Podcast website and leave us a review. That's thrivingfarmerpodcast.com.